Appreciate Christian leading our singing. Appreciate all of our young men serving in the service. And he's a fine young man, good song leader. Appreciate him doing that for us this morning and all of our young men who serve. They are the church of tomorrow, and we need to encourage them in the work that they're doing. Appreciate that. Appreciate our visitors who are here this morning. We welcome you back any opportunity that you have. This evening, Lord willing, we're going to be looking at a lesson on heaven and hell, and you would think that that would be a very basic and easy lesson to understand, but we're going to see this evening how that some twist and distort basic Bible truths, even among brethren, concerning heaven and hell. So I hope that that lesson will be encouraging for all of us. We invite you back this evening for that. Reggie mentioned John Gentry, whom we've just begun supporting the past few weeks. John will be with us, Lord willing, next Sunday. He will be preaching for us, so I would encourage you to be present for that. Let's meet him. Let's encourage him. Let's talk with him. As Paul says in Philippians 4, that when we support a minister somewhere else, we have fellowship with him in the gospel. And so, rather than just being a name on the bulletin board, let's have a personal face there that we can get to know. So I would encourage you to get to know him and his family next week, Lord willing. But it's good to be able to stand before you. If you'll open your Bibles to that scripture reading that Truman had earlier in Matthew chapter 10. We'll be coming back to verse 22 in just a minute. For the past several weeks, I've called him Trevor. I don't know why. But like a lot of other things, one day I'll get it right. So appreciate Truman, all of our young men serving. A year ago, today's the 1 year anniversary of me coming to this congregation. Time has flown by. And I just wanted to make a comment about that, a good comment, a positive comment, and that is that I hope that over the past year I have fulfilled my role as a minister the way God would have me to do that. My intention is simply to proclaim God's word, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. I've tried to do that to the best of my ability. I hope that I can continue to do that. Appreciate your prayers on my behalf as I pray for you. I hope that you'll pray for me, and I hope that, Lord willing, we can say this a year from now about our second anniversary. I want to thank the elders and the congregation for the invitation to be here, and I hope that we've been able to make progress in the Lord's service. That's all that I want. I want us to grow. I want us to be unified. I want to bring lessons. If we're doing something right, I want us to encourage that. If we're doing something wrong, I want to discourage that. But using the scripture, of course. If we're doing something that's good and can be improved upon, I want to try to encourage that as well. So I appreciate the opportunity to be with you in this capacity. And Lord willing, we can say the same thing next year. Yesterday, our son ran his first marathon in Memphis. And as you know about races, of course, there's the short sprints, and then there's the long marathons. We associate with a marathon endurance. We're going to talk about endurance this morning. In Matthew chapter 10, and verse 22, he that stands firm or stays firm, or the other versions say endures to the end, will be saved. We'll talk about endurance this morning. I've never run a marathon. I don't have any plans to. I understand they're very difficult to do. Of all the races, they are the most challenging. And Jake said that there was a point at the end of the race where it was difficult for him, as would be expected. But he said he kept on and kept on and kept going until he crossed the finish line. He did that in a little over 3 hours. I was talking with him last night about that, and he said, I probably could have done better, but I started training in September. And I laughed. If I had started last January, I couldn't have done that. He said, I started training last September. So, Oh, to be young again. But we have to endure. And that's a difficult thing. You're going to start hurting. There's going to be pain. There's going to be problems. But you have to keep pressing on. And so this morning I want us to consider that statement that Jesus makes in Matthew 10, verse 22. And He makes it again twice in Scripture. He says it again over in Matthew chapter 24 and verse 13 when He's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem. And He's talking about how that His followers, His disciples in the church at that time would have been in existence in AD 70, the fall of Jerusalem. They need to endure to the end and they'll be saved. He's talking about getting through this process of the fall of Jerusalem. And in Matthew chapter 10, He's talking about getting through this process of going out and preaching the gospel. You've got to endure to the end. Anyone can start, but it takes endurance to finish. Anyone can go a good part of the way, but it takes endurance to finish. We have to finish the course, Paul said. I have finished the course. And so this morning as Christians, it's not enough to start. We have to finish. And I would encourage starting. And I would encourage going throughout the way. But the Bible says that we have to finish the course. We have to endure all the way to the end. And so this morning I want to encourage us along those lines. And there are a number of ways that we could do this, but this morning I want to do this by looking at things that don't endure. I want to encourage us to endure all the way to the end by looking at things that don't endure. You see, what the devil does is he gets people to quit, he gets Christians to quit by getting them to put their minds on those things that don't endure. And if he can do that, then he can get them to quit as a Christian. You know, there's a lot of things in life that don't last. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. And when you look at these things that we're going to look at this morning, you're going to say, well, the world sure puts a lot of stock into these things. And that's what the devil wants. These things are going to be in our life. And God is not saying don't have these things in our life. He's saying that is not the focus of our life. Things that don't endure, that's not to be the focus of our life. What are some of those things? Well, one thing that comes to my mind is earthly possessions. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. What did Jesus say in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19? That we're not to lay up our treasures on earth where moth and rust corrupts and consumes, and where the thieves break in and steal. But then the very next verse, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. People put their trust in earthly possessions. My car, my house, my clothes, my money, my bank account, my this, my that. And that's what the world is about. And there's nothing wrong with having those things individually. But Jesus is saying that's not where your treasure is. Later he says where your treasure is, there is your heart also. He's talking about your focus, your desire, your trust is not to be in those things. We have those things to live each day, but that's not our trust. Earthly possessions don't endure. You ever had anything stolen from you? You ever had anybody break in and steal something from your house? We had that happen in 2008. Somebody kicked in the door, stole some things. Ever had anything stolen? Ever had anything burned? My parents came home from services one time. Their house had burned down. You ever had anything stolen, burned? You ever had anything just not work anymore and you have to throw it away? Earthly possessions, they perish. In Luke chapter 12, the rich farmer was putting all of his stock in his barns, in his bigger barns, but he wasn't taking care of his soul. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7, Peter talks about gold that perishes. It could be something like silver and gold, but it doesn't last. Didn't the Egyptians and the Pharaohs learn about that? What did they do? They crammed all that stuff in their tombs because they were going to take it to the afterlife, right? Did they take any of it with them? No, they just left it to the grave diggers who got it later. And a few of those things end up in museums, but they didn't take it to the afterlife. And other people have done that kind of thing. Earthly possessions don't endure. And so that's why our focus is not to be on those things. Our focus is to be laying up treasures in heaven. And Jesus said in Luke 12:15, beware of covetousness, for a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. That's not where life is at. We're to be focusing on making sure that our soul is right with God. Possessions are just simply instruments, material instruments throughout the day and the week and the month that get us through life. But that's not where our focus is at. In 1 Timothy 6, some have had this love of money that has caused many heartaches and sorrows. And so Paul says in verse 17 that we're to not trust in that, but trust in God. Earthly possessions don't endure. So that's not where our focus needs to be. We're talking about getting through life faithfully. We're talking about getting all the way to heaven. It's not going to be by focusing on earthly possessions. They don't last. And yes, we have museums with artifacts that might be 3,000, 4,000 years old. But in time, even those things go away. Earthly possessions do not endure. So we should not be putting our focus on those kinds of things. Another thing that does not endure is trials and tribulations. Turn with me to John 16, verse 20 and 21. John 16, 20 and 21. Have you ever been in a trial and at the moment you think that this is the worst thing that has ever happened to me and I'm just going to be in this thing forever? Well, if you'll be a little patient, you'll find that sometimes it goes away. Trials and tribulations, as we're going through them, are difficult. We don't want to downplay that. They are hard. But we can move from that and move beyond that, and things will get better if we will serve the Lord. What did Jesus say in John chapter 16 with regard to His disciples and when He would leave the earth and there was going to be upcoming persecution for them? John 16 and verse 20, verily, verily, I say unto you that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice. You shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy. A woman, he's going to talk about a woman who's giving birth now. A woman, when she is in travail, hath sorrow because her hour is come. But when she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into the world. Mothers, do you remember that moment when you were sitting there just... It was hurting, right? When your child was being born. Yeah. And guys, if you were there, she was clamping down on your hand and saying all kinds of things, you know. Why? Because it hurts. But later, you don't think about that. You're thinking about the joy of having your baby. What about Job in James chapter 5? Look at James chapter 5 and verse 11 and look at the little word end there, the end of the matter. Sometimes in this life, even our pains and problems, our trials and tribulations go away, but ultimately in the life to come, we've got to work through that. We call them blessed that endured. You have heard of the patience or the steadfastness of Job and have seen the end of the Lord. That's chapter 41 and 42 of the book of Job. That's where Job is relieved of those problems. How that the Lord is full of pity and merciful. And he's still, I believe, the same today. We don't need to focus on our problems. Because one day those things will go away. And a lot of times that's even in this life. Paul had a thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and I'm sure that hurt. I'm sure that was painful. But he kept focused on the Lord and God's grace. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 10 through 12, Paul talks about all of his persecutions. But he says, through them all I endured. And then look at the statement there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. What helped him with that? Out of all of them, I endured, and out of all of them, the Lord delivered me. We don't need to put our focus on the trials and tribulations that might be going on because those will end one day. And I believe a lot of times, even like Job, those things end in this life, but if nothing else, they will in the life to come. Look at Hebrews chapter 12, and when I think about that marathon, let us run the race with patience or steadfastness, that which is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. You can make it through difficult times if you'll keep your mind on the joy that is set before us, like Jesus did. And He sat down at the right hand of God. And all that cross part of that went away. He's now at the right hand of God. And we do have troubles and trials and tribulations, but that's going to go away one day. Turn with me to James chapter 1. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved or tested, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love Him. We don't take trials and tribulations with us into the next life. There won't be any of that there. So let's not get our focus on those things. And at the moment, yes, it's painful. That's right. At the moment, it's painful. But we have to endure those things. One day it'll go away. Do you know that the human body, no big surprise, those of us who are getting older, the human body doesn't endure. So as we're getting older, we're buying things to help us out. We start with glasses, and then maybe later it's hearing aids, and we might have to have some help walking, and yeah, change our diet and do this and that. Why? The body doesn't last forever. It's here for a while and then gone. So let's not get our focus on that. You look at how much today people that are in the world that don't have Christ in their life, the Bible's not in their life, the church is not in their life. What do they have? What do they have? What do they spend their free time doing? It's either possessions or their body, something like that. Right? And they're putting their stock and their focus and their priority into things that don't even last. In Genesis chapter 3 and verse 19, the body will return to the dust. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, the body will return to the dust. In Psalm 90 and verse 10, the psalmist says that we might live 70 and by reason of strength 80 years. And then he says we fly away. So why are we putting a priority on that? Now don't get me wrong. I believe we need to take care of our body. And that's the subject of another lesson. 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. Our body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, and I believe we need to take care of it. But you can take care of it all day long, and one day it's going to be gone. And so our focus should not be on that. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16. Our focus needs to be on the inward man. You look at our society, it's all about the outward man. There's cosmetic commercials and things that deal with the outward appearance of someone. And again, there's nothing wrong with looking nice and taking care of ourselves and that type of thing. But a world devoid of God, that's all they have. That's what they're putting their focus on. And Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, though our outward man is decaying, and it is, brethren, our inward man is renewed day by day. And so he goes on down through chapter 4 and on into chapter 5 where he talks about the resurrected body. That's where our focus needs to be. And he does that so much that he comes on down. Look at chapter 5 and verse 10. We must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. That's what's important. Not working out at the gym. I'm not saying don't work out at the gym. I'm saying that's not what our priority is about. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8. Bodily exercise profits little. It does. And there is some good profit to that. Paul says a little. We have those here this morning who are in the healthcare profession. And let me say amen to those who try to help us be healthy. We need to be healthy. We need to take care of ourselves. And I appreciate those who help us to do that. But at the end of the day, bodily exercise, it profits, but in comparison to godliness, it's just a little bit, but godliness is profitable for all things, having the promise of the life which now is, that's being a Christian now, and that which is to come, that's our home in heaven. That's where our priority is at. But you look at the world today, it's all about taking care of their outward body, and they're not taking care of their godliness. If we're to endure, brethren, if we're to endure to the end, somebody says, well, how do we do that? By staying away from those things that don't endure. By not letting our focus be on those things that don't endure, we can endure to the end. I think of human glory. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. Everybody wants to be built up. There's a lot of pride in people. I'm not talking about a genuine compliment. There's place for that. Romans 12, we're to give honor to whom honor is due, that type of thing. I'm not talking about a genuine compliment. I'm talking about pride and arrogance and human glory. And Jesus says to these scribes and Pharisees in the Sermon on the Mount, when they would go to do alms, that's their good deeds, when they would go to pray, don't sound a trumpet as the hypocrites do in the synagogue, that they may have glory of men. Where someone is appealing to our pride and to our vanity, flattering us to build us up in some way that is not good for us. Jesus said, look at verse 2, they have their reward. He's saying that's all they get. All you get is what they said. You don't get anything else. God is not approving of you, but just the glory of men. He says the same thing in John chapter 5. He said, you will not come to me and believe in me because you love the glory of men more than God. But you know the problem with that is? It doesn't last. Oh, you're puffed up at the moment. You feel pretty good. And people have built you up in some kind of a way, but it goes away after a while. Do you remember in Acts chapter 12, Herod? The voice of a God. And boom, he struck dead, eaten with worms. He wouldn't give glory to God. He wouldn't say, no, don't do that. It appealed to his pride and his vanity. And that's what people do in the world today. We see it happening all the time. There are people who act in immoral kinds of ways. And then the rest of them around them are building them up and saying it's okay. Have you seen any of the scandals recently on the news with the sexual harassment scandals? Have you followed any of that? In the last 2 months, several people have been called forward on that. This is what's coming out just about in every news story. And I'm not going to mention anybody's name, but this is what's coming out. The person who did it, this is what's coming out just about in every story that I've seen. Others around them would not say no to that behavior, would not try to help that person stop that behavior. They were building them up by endorsing it, not outright, but just by not saying anything. It's a culture of building people up with human glory. Oh, you're okay. You said you did such and such with this lady. Well, you're still my friend. We're still in the same group. And keep doing, you know, it's coming out that the people around them would not say no to it, would not discourage it. And so what it is people appealing to this glory of men. And so it feeds your ego and your pride, and you just keep doing what you're doing. Our focus should not be on that. Turn with me to John chapter 7 and verse 18. Our focus should be on being approved of God. Do you remember that well-known passage that we always quote in 2 Timothy 2:15 about rightly dividing the Word of God? How does that verse start off? The man approved of what? Approved of God. Approved of God. That's where our approval needs to be. Don't worry about approval ratings at school, young people. Don't worry about approval ratings by those who are out in the community, your peers and so forth. Look at John 7 and verse 18. He that speaketh from himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh the glory of him that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. I want to be glorified by God. I'm going to do God's word. I'm not just going to speak from myself and glorify myself. I'm not going to let those around me applaud me. I'm going to be approved of God. You can have people build you up and tell you that you're okay, even when you're not. But that's not going to last. And that's what's going on in the world today. You know what else does not last is the age that we're in. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 2, 2017. The way we dress in 2017. The way we talk in 2017. The way we act in 2017. If we live long enough, that'll be gone. We'll move on to something else. The Hebrew writer talks about the pleasures of sin for a season. John talks about how that the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, these things come and go. We're not to do these kinds of things. And then he says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away. Now we're going to talk in just a moment about earth passing away, but John is talking about the age that they live in at that time. The world passeth away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. Don't get caught up in the 21st century culture of America in how to talk and how to dress and how to act, because you're just simply buying into an age that does not last. Our focus should not be on this age. Turn with me to 2 Timothy 4 and verse 10. What was the problem of Demas? What was the problem of Demas? Paul said, he forsook me having loved this present. Your version says world. It's the Greek word age. There was something going on around him that he loved and he didn't want to follow Paul anymore. We're not told what it was. But you can imagine today the age that we live in, and people are getting caught up just in what they see around them. It doesn't last, brother. We've got to have a faith deeper than just some superficial faith that all it does is it just uses the culture as their standard. And whatever is going on out in culture, that's where I'm at. We've got to be deeper than that, brethren. Having loved this present age, he got caught up in something that he liked and he didn't want to follow Paul. What about our music? What about our movies? What about our dress? What about our... It could be a number of things. It's just the age that we're in. And it's run by the devil. We've got to think better than that. We're not going to put our stock in that. And let me say at the very beginning that I believe we need to be good stewards of our earth. I don't believe we need to go out and waste resources. But this earth is going to pass away. And there are those in our current age and culture who act as if the physical earth is almost like, you know, Mother God, and some of them literally worship it. Others act as if it's not going anywhere. And it is. It's going to be gone one day. We don't need to waste our resources. Don't get me wrong. I'm all for being green. But the earth is going to go away. In Hebrews chapter 1, verses 10 through 12, the earth in its temporary nature is contrasted with the deity of Jesus who lasts forever. The earth is like a garment that one day is going to be rolled up and thrown away. We're going to talk about this more tonight when we talk about those who feel like we're going to come back and live on a restored earth for all eternity. No, it's going to be gone. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 10 through 13, and we'll spend more time this evening looking at that. There are multiple words that Peter uses to make it so clear that it's going to be gone. Burned up, dissolved, melt. I mean, how many different ways can you say it? And yet somebody says, nope, we're coming back and living on a restored earth. It's going to be gone. It's going to be gone one day. And our focus should not be on that. What should our focus be on? Turn with me to 2 Peter chapter 3 and the very next verse. If the world is going to be gone and the physical earth is going to be gone, then Peter, what should we be putting our mind on? What should we be putting our focus on? Well, he tells us, 2 Peter 3:14, look at it with me. Wherefore? Wherefore what? Wherefore is a conclusion. We've just concluded that the earth is going to be gone. Verses 10 through 12. Wherefore, knowing that, beloved, seeing that you look for these things, what things? That the earth is going to be gone, and we're going to be given a new heaven and earth, verse 13, which is parallel to heaven itself. We'll talk about that tonight. Look for these things. Give diligence that you may be found in peace, without spot, and blameless in His sight. That's what we need to be putting our focus on. That when Jesus comes again, we're spotless. That's what our focus needs to be on. And any sin in our life has been completely removed. That's our focus. Well, we need to recycle the trees and all. Amen. I'm all for that. Recycle plastic and recycle. Yeah, all for it. But Peter says it's all going to be gone one day, and you are going to stand with God in judgment. In verse 14 is what counts. Not whether you recycled or not, but whether you're without spot and you're pure. So as we close this morning, earthly possessions do not last. Trials and tribulations that we're going through, the human body, someone's glory or praise of us, the age that we're in, and the universe itself is going to be gone one day. So how do we endure? We don't keep our minds on those things. We keep our minds on those things that endure. And what are they? They are three in nature. Number one, Paul says in 1 Corinthians 13, if you'll turn with me there, love. There are things that last. But now abideth. Look at verse 13. Here's what lasts. He's even talked about in verses 7 and 8 and 9 how that first century prophetic gifts are not going to be around. But what is going to be around, verse 13? Hope, faith, hope, and love. That's what is going to last. Faith in God in Christ, a hope of heaven, loving God, loving our brethren. And the greatest of these is love, because love encompasses faith and hope. And he started off in verse 1 saying, brethren, we've got all of these miraculous gifts, but it means nothing if you're not going to exercise them with love. Corinth was emphasizing the fact that they had gifts, but they weren't remembering that they were to have love one for another. Look in your Bible, abides. Abides. This is what lasts. This is what endures. Faith, hope, and love. These are spiritual things, brethren, that we have to have in our life each day if we are going to endure all the way to the end. Don't put your stock in earthly possessions, in the human body, in the ground that we walk on, and all these things that we put your trust and priority in faith, hope, and love. And raise your children on that. Yes, we have physical things, but teach that those things are secondary in nature. The phone, the video games, the car. Those are secondary. Faith, hope, and love. Number two, read the book that endures. The Bible is not going anywhere. Peter says that the Word of the Lord abides forever. If we want to endure to the end, we need to have faith, hope, and love. And number two, every day reading our Bible that lasts all the way till the time that the Lord comes again. That's why our daily Bible reading and study is so important. We're putting our faith and trust in words that will last all the way through to the end. We're not going to listen to what our friends say and what our colleagues say and what the experts say. We're going to follow God's book each and every day. And then last of all, when we read that book, we're going to go out and do the will of our Heavenly Father. We're not going to do our will. We're not going to do what the will is of our society. The world passeth away in the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. That's what lasts. Just simply getting up each day and being a faithful Christian and doing God's will. You don't care what the opinion polls say about this and that. You don't care what society says about this and that. You just get up each day and you do God's will. And it takes you all the way to the end. Well, Jesus said, "He that endures to the end will be saved." Yeah, it's a long race. It's hard. There's going to be a lot of times along the way where it hurts. That's right. But if you endure to the end and cross the finish line, you'll be saved. But it's not going to be by putting your trust in your earthly possessions. And we're going to go home to earthly possessions in just a moment. And we might, when we leave this building, go back to our trials and tribulations and the human body and all these things that we talked about. But we've learned this morning our trust is not going to be in that. Each day we're going to have faith, hope, and love. We're going to read our Bible. We're going to do the will of God. And by doing that, it's not that difficult. We'll endure all the way to the end. Can we help someone this morning begin that race? You haven't started the race. You need to start. You know the gun has already been fired 2,000 years ago. You got to get on the race course and start running. The gun's already fired. You got to get out there and start running. And so we'd encourage you to start that by stepping forward. Be baptized into Christ. There's water here. You can change. You can start that marathon this morning. You know, the devil wants you to just stay on the starting line and not cross it. He doesn't want you to cross it. He doesn't want you to get going. He just wants you to kind of stand around there until the Lord comes again and it's too late. Don't let him do that. Gun's already been fired. You just need to get on the race with everybody else. And there's good brethren here that have started this race. And as I look out 1 year after coming for the first time, I see brethren here this morning who are running that race, who are enduring to the end, and you're an encouragement. Let's be that to our children. Let's be that to one another. There may be someone here who is needing to start that race. Do it. There may be someone here this morning that's a child of God and, you know, you realize you're just not running that race the way it's supposed to be run. And you find yourself with trust in these other things that we've talked about. Get your eyes off of that and back on being a Christian and back on those things that endure. For everyone else, I'm encouraged by the knowing that there are brethren here that don't care about these things that are passing away. They care about serving the Lord. And you're an encouragement to all of us. If we can help you in some way to run that Christian race and endure that long marathon all the way to heaven, we would encourage you to come as we stand and as we sing.